This is a tripod broadcast.
Well, let's start recording, so...
We just did.
Okay, cool. I think this is a key show to listen to because it's
all about emotional masturbation. Journalistic integrity.
It encapsulates everything that we're about.
And I'm sorry.
Now, give that some thought.
Yeah.
With Addison.
I can't be mad at you. You get a haircut.
And Matt.
I would recommend that you stop listening right now.
They're going to announce the new version of Android, or preview it at Google I.O., and then it'll be available, like, in the fall.
Is it Android WaffleCon? Is it the new the operating system?
It should be.
Yeah.
It should be. No, it'll probably be 5.0, but I don't know what the code name will be for it.
Because it didn't have, like, they call it, like, cookies?
They call them all, they call them all desserts.
Okay.
Yeah, ice cream sandwich.
Pineapple upside down cake. Yeah.
You should work for Google.
Yeah.
Yeah.
German chocolate explosion.
Speaking of that, I really like the way Silicon Valley handled, like, the Google of that show. Like, Hooli and just the corporate. I dig that. Yeah. Kind of the over-the-top absurd because, like, you know, like, thinking the show, like, Hooli's, like, working on all this great stuff that's going to change our lives. Like, the way Google is ambitiously doing self-driving cars and stuff.
Yeah.
Total play off of Google. Total. And I love that.
Yeah. I like the one scene where the guy gets in the car, literally, like, this car is 2 feet wide, and he drives between two cars that are parked.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, that is a tiny car.
And then the other guy's like, effing billionaires, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a great show. I'm looking forward to season two. I also really want to see how they wrote out, if they continue to write out at all, that one dude's death.
I think they'll probably
mention it.
I don't know.
I think he'll be off the project. I think they'll just write him off that project.
He is such a foil to Richard. I think that they'll bring, if not bring back a new actor to play that role, then bring another actor in to kind of play, like, his underling.
That type of character or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, somebody who works for him.
Yeah.
But then is now in charge.
Because it can't be just that chick.
No.
She plays a totally different character, and if they try and morph that character into kind of the role that he played, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Like, no, there's more there, like, you know, the hot chick that's, like, really unattainable but is really impressed with what Richard's done and stuff. Like,
yeah.
And that's a great character, and I think, it needs to be in the show, but if they try and fill his void with that character, it's not going to work at all.
Yeah.
But... anyways, this isn't TV Teardown. So
no, it's not. This is Give That Some Thought.
Television. It is. I'm your host, Addison. Joining me is my co-host, a man who hasn't seen South of 200 since the third grade, Matt Hume.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking with one of the guys at work, Javi, and we were both talking about how we were fat kids growing up.
Yeah.
I was a fat little Mexican kid. I'm a fat little gringo kid.
And don't you think fatness looks better on some races?
I think, if you have, like, a super fat Mexican kid.
Like a chubby Mexican kid.
Super fat.
Everyone's cool with
6-year-old. Yeah.
No, like, no one says, parents should, like, put some limits there. You see a fat white kid, that's it. Like, everyone's like, come on, guys. I'm a little portion control with Junior here.
Pretty
like,
much, pretty much.
It's weird to me. That's. Same thing about, I saw somebody tweeting the other day about how, or no, it was a conversation on Reddit. There was a thread about, I think it was an Ask Women. Or Ask Reddit, and I was like, what are some of the things that a man has wanted you to do or be in a relationship that you weren't okay with, or something like that? And it was very serious. Like, I thought it would all be, like, all the top comments would be like anal, like,
yeah, or Batman.
Right. But it was all very serious. And then one of the guys was, like, just talking about how no one talks about, like, the male stereotype in that thing, about how, you know, there's like, men struggle with the same thing of women. There was this article that went around pretty popularly about how men need to be men and start, you know, asking girls out and stop doing the vagueness of hanging out and dates and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was weird because a couple of my Facebook friends posted it, and I read, you know, so if I see one article that shows up on Facebook, I'm like, whatever. It's not important. But if I see, like, three or four people that I'm actually friends with post it, then I'll finally be like, okay, let's see what this article that's going around says, you know. And I read it, and I think it only applies to a certain number of people, because women, I think, are just as guilty of that, let's just hang out, I don't want any commitments, I'm too young for that. Like,
yeah.
Within a certain stereotype, and I think I'll go straight to religion and say I think it comes from there. I think there's a lot of women who are like, yes, men need to be men and ask us out and stop hanging out. And that's probably true in those situations. But on the flip side, there are just as many women who pull that crap with guys all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had a nickel for every conversation I've heard with I had with a guy where he's like, I don't know, man, she doesn't really want to label it, doesn't really want to, just kind of wants to be friends, you know, but we're still sleeping together kind mm-hmm. of thing, you know, like.
But here's the thing.
That's all the time.
It's much cheaper to just hang out.
Than to be in a relationship?
Than it is to go on dates and be a dater and, like, because here's the thing.
You mean cheaper financially or emotionally?
Yes, both? Financially. Like,
right.
I'm sorry, babe. I don't have $200 to spend on just taking you to dinner every single freaking week. I can't do it.
Right.
So for girls who were looking for that, like there are, and there's definitely girls out there like this, and I've met them, who I'm like, hey, you want to hang out sometime and, you know, just do whatever?
Right.
Like, no. Like, you can ask me on a date. Like, and so, would you like to go on a date?
Right.
And like, yeah, you pick me up here, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm sorry, but in this economy, in the way things are right now, for especially people in their 20s who
exactly.
can't find a job,
yeah.
women have to drop the expectation that men are going to pick them up, take them out, pay for dinner, pay for the movie,
yeah.
pay for whatever, and drop $100 on them two nights a week
right.
for 6 months.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before
I'm sorry.
A promise ring.
Exactly.
Right.
Like before it becomes a serious relationship.
It
can become a serious relationship without me having or us as a couple having to spend $300 a week on just activities to do
right.
while we get to know each other.
Right.
No. It's
well. I think that's a two way street too. Because like when me and my wife met, like we were young. We were like I think we met when we were like 19, right?
Yeah.
19, 20, 21, like that kind of age, right? I was in school or just had gotten in school. She was in school. Like neither one of us had an overabundance of money. I did right at the beginning because I was waiting tables and so I had a lot of cash and so. I
compared to her, but compared to somebody else,
well, right.
who she might date. No, you're broke,
right? And so, but I paid for a lot of things, but it was no. I don't think that meant any more in our relationship than any of the other things I did to be because I think sometimes women and especially parents, portray this onto their girls that's the definition of chivalry or that's
yeah.
the definition of a good guy,
exactly.
And that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
And there's this whole. Well, okay, finish your thought, because I have several thoughts that I would like to spend several minutes talking uninterrupted.
It doesn't necessarily mean that they're not a good guy just because they can't pick you up and take you out and do
exactly.
the $200, let's put a dress and a jacket on and go mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. wherever downtown. You know, like you can still be a chivalrous person and a good person and eat at McDonald's and get the free seats at the Muni
first
or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not,
you know.
I'm not taking the chick to McDonald's. If I'm doing the free seats, I'm going to go to Schnucks, get $20 on a picnic lunch, like a couple of deli sandwiches and just like her favorite kind of soda, whatever. And then
this is rapidly evolving into a fantasy.
No, we'll go. This has actually happened before on a date with a young lady. Yeah, it was on the cheap. We were going to meet some friends at the Muni and sit in the cheap seats.
Uh-huh.
And so beforehand, like I picked her up. We went to the park. We had a picnic lunch there in Forest Park, and then we walked over to the Muni, met up with the friends, and
it's like a
whatever
$40 night.
And yeah, I spent $20.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't mean that you're
stuff,
a bad dude, and you can still display that you're a good dude.
Yeah. Okay, I'm 31. Like you're 27, 26, and married now. So you're done. But I'm 31 and I'm still out there trying to meet people and
right.
whatever. But
guys, girls,
it's
just people.
Once you get to my age and you have this reawakening of chivalry, well, reawakening of woman's desire for chivalry, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Feminism already killed chivalry. It's dead. Women killed it. It's gone. Like, we already got the booty without having to be nice to you. And we realize now...
Because you're empowered.
Every Exactly.
Right.
Every man in the world now realizes that if they want to have fun with their penis with another person, with
right.
a woman,
right.
like, they just have to find the girl with the most trauma and then play into that trauma.
Yeah.
And it's a psychological game, and it's not a game of you being a good person, and therefore you get rewarded with pussy. It's you find out what makes this person be the crazy, stupid person that they could be, and then you exploit that. Anyway, but if you want to honestly date people, mm-hmm. like you now at my age, you have to have a car and you have to be able to drop $200 a week. And it's like, it's a yardstick. Like women think that chivalry is now, like the Facebook definition of chivalry is yeah. paying for dates.
Yeah.
And holding the door open for you. No, it's. I'm sorry. But the definition of chivalry is not choking you out. It's not smacking your face. It's not being a drooling asshole. Like, I don't know. Like, I've known women who think that their boyfriends are chivalrous, yet
they're complete douches.
They're a douchebag, and the girl comes in with bruises on her arms. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's that sort of, and she says, oh, he's so chivalrous, he picks me up in his beautiful car, and he takes me to the nice restaurant, and he opens the door right. for me. It's like, okay, well, yeah, but those are distractions. Those are shiny lures in front of your face, and it's distracting you.
Yeah.
Like, that is not a good guy.
Right.
Like, I don't think I'm a great guy.
Right.
Because I get emotionally bored.
Really easily.
Well, just because, like, I've had so many times in my life where I'm not very good at trusting emotionally, because I feel like, oh, as soon as you find somebody better, you're going to be out the door. Like, that's right. how I feel.
And there's a lot of better people within that context.
Within that context.
I don't mean that as a dig. I'm just saying.
No,
like,
but like within that context, sure. But also it's, you know, that trust thing. Like I've had girls just get bored with me because they feel, I don't know, maybe they feel like I'm boring, but like
right.
it's, I don't know. It seems like as soon as they really get to know me, they're just on to the next one.
Yeah,
or they're just looking for an escape out. I guess it's my quirk. It's me. It's, you know. But
well, I think that brings up another interesting point, because that whole, like, you know, someone better or something. Like, there's yeah. this concept of and it's sort of like that Facebook definition of a good relationship. You know, is not settling, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like there's. From my religious friends on to, you know, my other friends who aren't religious at all, you know, there's this concept of settling. If you're with someone who has or does anything that you don't like, then that's settling. And that's not the definition of a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like every relationship, you talk to people that have been married 40, 50, 60 years, right? Like, And they can laugh about it now. They can be like, yeah, like, you know, when we first had kids, or, you know, this made me really mad, or when we first got together, this made me really mad, like that kind of thing. Like, there's all kinds of things about people. You and I have been friends for years. Like, I can say this about Matt, I really don't like it all. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop hanging out with you or stop being your friend. Like, and I think too many, particularly on the women's side, think that settling is if they do anything that you don't like, then you're settling by being with them. And I don't think they expect perfection, as opposed to someone who is a good person and in a relationship that is loving and caring despite the things that maybe you don't like. And obviously there's limits to that, like, you know, because then you have people that are like, well, he's a good guy, you know, he doesn't do as much heroin as he used to, you know, and that's not a good thing either, to go, you know, down the opposite extreme. But on the flip side, like, you know, well, you know, he leaves his socks on the floor. Yeah, that's what he does. Like, that's what he does, you know, and that doesn't mean he's a bad guy or going to be a bad husband or a bad father because he leaves his socks on the floor. It has no barometer of that at all, you know, in a relationship. And I think they get to that point where it's like, well, I just don't want to settle. And that doesn't mean that you're settling because he doesn't have the same priority for whatever as you do, or those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's enough things that have to line up for a relationship to be good. But I think there's too many sometimes that people look at, and then that settle word comes in way yeah. too quickly.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. I feel like for the 21st century woman, like, as soon as she gets to know me, and this has happened almost every relationship I've ever had, is like, as soon as she gets to know actual Matt,
mm-hmm.
out the door.
What do you mean by actual? Like, what is?
Like actual Matt. Like
when they find out about, like, the heroin and the peanut butter? And
no.
Like, what's...
Never done heroin. But
I know, but, like, what is... Like, is there
but
something...
But, like, the fact that I'm kind of weird, that I have, like, quirks, that I like my cave time sometimes.
Yeah.
That I, like, well, you know how I am. That, like, yeah. I won't always answer my phone, or, like, it just feels like as soon as we get to... Like, I will accept a lot of things from
sure.
a girl.
Sure.
Okay. Because I realize, guess what? People come with baggage. You can't help it.
Yeah.
I'm 30 years old.
And no one's perfect.
No, yeah, but people are going to come with baggage, and you can't help it. You just have to accept
and
that that's what makes
other,
them them. But then you start sharing, and, you know, I don't know. It just seems like there's been a lot of times where, like, you open up to a person, and then they're out the door.
Yeah.
Or they find some excuse to be out the door. And it's so frustrating, dude.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating because you feel like you're playing a rigged game where the only...
Sometimes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the only way to actually, like, catch a fish is with the fancy, expensive lures. And I don't have any of those. I'm never going to have any of those.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm never going to have a flashy car. I'm never going to have a gym body. Like, that's just not me.
Well, have you ever been to Club Fitness?
No,
I think in that term,
no.
you'd have a gym body.
Okay.
Like, that's why I like going there. There's so many fat people at Club Fitness.
Like, I'm never going to be that guy, right, ever.
Right, right.
So when it comes to attracting women, like, I'm not going to be conventional with it.
And you're going to have a lot of the poster
things. And it's like every other friend I've ever had. Like, you have to get to know me. You have to wade through the weird a little bit.
I'll vouch for that. You have to
realize, and you know what? I feel like I do it to myself because I do it intentionally. Like, I make myself a little bit weirder than I am in order to keep out certain people.
Right.
Because there are certain people that walking past me on the street, like, I can tell, like, well, there's second glance, they give me a glance, I give them a glance, and then they move on.
Right.
Because they see certain parts of my exterior that I keep shabby to keep the people that only actually want the serious nuggets of gold that Matt has to give.
Right.
You know, you have to work for it.
And trust me, Matt, I am after those nuggets.
But it's frustrating because, like, I feel like I should be that same person. I should.
Yeah.
You know, Matt should be a puzzle you have to figure out. And when you figure it out, you're like, oh, wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a great picture when you put that puzzle together. Yeah.
But basically what I'm saying is there aren't enough in the world.
Oh, I'm gonna bleep that out. I'm not going to put that on our show.
No?
No. I refuse to do that.
There aren't enough.
That's so sad. Matt
mentioned... No, because she did. She stuck with it. She was like, yeah, you're weird.
And I dig it.
And then we became really good friends and then...
Jeez, you're still broken up about her.
I'm not broken up about her. No, it's just the best example of someone who's like, I'll get to know you.
Yeah.
And then, no, you're weird doesn't turn me off.
Well, I'm a good example of that. I'm just not going to sleep with you.
You and Dano, but yeah, you don't have the requisite parts that I enjoy. You don't have the naughty bits I'm looking for. These are not the naughty bits you're looking for.
Yeah. Bottom line, relationships are hard for a variety of reasons. And I know
it's so weird. They're so weird. Maybe we should just talk about relationships this entire show.
Well, maybe it sounds like we were hating on women, and I hope it doesn't sound like that. Because guys, I mean, I have this conversation with a lot of women in my life, people that are close to me, right? Mm-hmm. It makes it sound like I have a lot of girlfriends, and I don't, but there are people that I've been friends with for a long time.
No, you do. You have girlfriends. You have a wife, but you have a couple girlfriends.
Several.
Her cousin, her sister.
No, but I have a lot of friends with... I have a lot of friends that are close to me or have been close to me for many years, and I have this conversation with them all the time where I don't justify the way that men come across because they'll get screwed over or whatever, or a guy is, you know, a total dick or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I try and let them in on the flip side because men are just as much at fault in the whole relationship game. I mean, they really are. Like, I hate to buy into such a stereotype, but, like, we're all dicks who are kind of only after one thing, and that's not good, right? That doesn't make for great relationship material, period. That makes us treat people bad. That makes us not care about the things that we should. We're just as much at fault is what I'm trying to say. You know, we cause a lot of the problems and a lot of the havoc, and we are the ones who have made women be, I think, you know, generationally speaking, we're the ones that have brought women in a lot of ways to the point that they're at now. You know,
I feel like it's a 50-50 split.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. But ours has worked for them. You know, like they've dated enough douchebags who only do one thing and don't care about anything else or don't care about them truly as a person. And so, I mean, yeah, we've been the cause for that. And yeah, 50-50, you know, like a lot of times that guy's that way because he's been screwed over by women who didn't really, you know, invest or realize.
Or because he acted like a brat for his... growing up, he's let's say theoretical guy,
right,
has always been a brat, and now he's gone from brat,
right,
to douche tool.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the evolution.
And yeah, he's gotten laid his entire life. Every step of his evolution from brat to douche tool, he's gotten laid.
You're getting a telephone call.
Hello?
Matt's on the phone. What did that say?
It's a recording to sell me a home security system.
Dude, why'd you hang up on them?
I thought it was work.
You got to protect your stash, man.
No, I don't need home security. You know what I have home security?
You just need that pit bull in the back room.
Night farts.
Night farts, the ultimate in home security.
Yeah.
Because if a burglar comes in and with the intent to rape, kill, and plunder, and he gets a face full of night farts, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
He's out. Imagine no more killing, no more plundering.
Imagine this scenario. You're at home. Everybody tucks safely into bed. All of a sudden, you hear glass breaking. Is it a burglar? Is it the wind? With night farts, you won't have to worry. Night farts. A noxious fume that comes out of your ass, filling the space that you're inhabiting. One whiff of this noxious fume that the burglar is unfamiliar with, and he will pass out. Night farts then alerts the authorities, who come directly to your house, arriving within 5 minutes, and that is a night fart guarantee. Right. Night farts. Is your family safe?
Very nice. Very nice. Very well done.
Anyway.
Yeah, where were we?
No, we talked about douche tools. Who
douche tools, yes.
Go from brat to douche tool.
Right.
And every step of the way, they've been successful with women,
right,
i.e. they've been able successful to close it down. Well, they've gotten laid.
In their minds, right.
So when it's the same thing about with giving a dog a treat. If you give a dog a treat all the time just because the dog thinks that he can do whatever he wants and he's going to get a treat.
Right.
It's just dog just thinking, oh, it's 4 o'clock, master's home, I get a treat.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I pooped on the carpet and tore up the trash can.
Right.
Like, I still get a treat.
Yeah.
So you have to reward good behavior and you have to not reward bad behavior. So,
yeah.
But if you could be a douche tool to everyone that you ever meet and still
have some version
get
of
laid,
success. Yeah.
You are going to continue being a douche tool.
Yeah.
And that's where the problem is that women sleep with men who are idiots. And and men act like idiots because it gets them laid.
Right.
And it's a never-ending cycle.
Yeah, because the men only get more idiotic and the women only get dumber. And,
exactly.
And push. And I mean, obviously this is two men talking about this, so this is how I look at it. But I think, and then at that point, what women do is push themselves, like who they really are, farther and farther away from the surface. You know what I mean? And so, like, that true thing, and then that whole, you know, not knowing what to expect, and then getting to a point where they don't care, mm-hmm, because, oh, well, yeah, I have bruises on my arm, but, you know, he picked me up and, you know, paid for dinner and the movie, you know, and is nice to my parents. Then that's the only expectation you have because it's some archaic idea of a good guy.
Yeah.
When in reality, he's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
And women tell you all the time. First off, men lie. Men lie constantly.
Yep.
Whatever we want.
To our friends.
Lie.
To our yes, to our family. Okay. To
next thing. Women lie.
Yep.
Okay. But women act like it's the truth. Men lie. And they act like it's not the truth. Both things are bad. But yeah, a woman will lie and act like it's the truth. A man will just straight up lie.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's,
or we'll omit too.
Yeah.
Like we'll just kind of, you know, oh, I didn't mention that.
Just, yeah.
You know?
Just leave stuff out.
Yeah.
But I forgot where I was going with this point. It was a decent point.
Women will lie but act like it's the truth.
Yeah, but it wasn't this. It wasn't necessarily that. It's the. I don't know. Just move on.
I think that goes into deeper too. Like that whole. What's that saying? Men can fake love for sex. Women can fake sex for love.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's.
We talked about this with Bill Cosby before
right.
Show.
And that's a really specific example. But I think that example applies to what you were just saying, and that's what we do in relationships. Like men will fake the whole relationship thing, mm-hmm, basically. You know, they don't really care. You know, for an intimate time or whatever, and women will fake the whole intimate time and obviously not care about that, or get to a certain point where they don't care at all about that because, you know, well, he keeps coming around. Yeah. Like, you know, he keeps coming around and he brought you Starbucks.
I remember what it was. Women lie, men lie all the time, okay? Women lie as well, too. But one of the biggest lies that a woman will tell you is that you ask her, what is she looking for in a man? What's the number one
you
answer?
You think that's a total lie?
The number one answer is always a lie. But what is numbers 10, 8, 9, numbers like 10 through 6, that's the truth.
Right.
Number 1 through 5, the top answers, no, those are all lies. But what's the number one answer? If you did a poll and right. you said, what is the number one thing that makes you attracted to a man? What are you looking for in a man? What do you think the answer is?
Shoot, I don't know.
Someone who...
is a good guy or...
more specific.
I don't know. I don't have the parts to think this question.
Okay, somebody who makes me laugh.
Right.
Do not women say all that all the time? Oh, I just want somebody who makes me laugh. This is a fun time.
Yeah, and that's a really common answer for...
it's a f***ing lie.
Okay? Really?
Because I make women laugh all the time. Seriously. I walk down the street and people bust out laughing. All right? I don't even do anything. No, but like, I'm very good
right.
at making people laugh. Once they kind of get to know me and get a context for me and
right.
for my humor,
right.
and it does take a little bit of context, which is why I keep my humor like that, because it's an acquired taste. You have to come in with some context and some knowledge for what's going on and how I approach jokes.
Yeah, it's anyway. Like a fine wine. You don't drink this on a Saturday
exactly.
night out of a box to get drunk.
No.
You drink this on a Saturday at 5:30 when you're at a restaurant and you have the right cheese to pair with it.
Exactly.
And Matt, I have the right cheese for your wine.
I know. Oh, baby. No, it's like, yeah. Women don't want someone to make them laugh.
Right.
I mean, they want to laugh.
Right.
But they want to laugh because you have a lot of money. They want to laugh because you
have job security.
Drive a nice car or
have a house.
Yeah, women want your stuff. Women do not want you. Women want your stuff. Men do not want you.
On the next episode of Bitterness with Matt,
no,
we will...
but it's the absolute inverse for men, because we don't want... We don't want your stuff. We want
right.
you.
Right.
Like, we want your body. Women don't want your body. They want
right.
your stuff.
Right.
And if the mind comes along with it, it's okay. And it's the same thing for the men. If the mind comes...
that's why we'll sleep with crack whores, because we don't... because,
yeah. But that's 21st century America. We're so backwards in our relationships. And and that's the whole point, I think, of this conversation. In 21st century Western culture, we're so backwards with the values that we place on certain attributes in...
right.
In someone of the opposite sex,
right?
In a partner, we're so messed up in the head about what we feel are the things that matter
yeah.
in a relationship. And I'm telling you what, man, as a 31-year-old dude who's been single for so much of his life,
yeah, 80% or more.
Yeah, it's so frustrating. And I mean, I can't even being in a dating relationship with somebody being single.
Right.
You're just dating. But, like, it's so frustrating to try and figure out what values society places on certain characteristics.
Yeah.
And which ones to accentuate, which ones not.
And how much a given woman has accepted those.
Yeah.
Because all women are different. But they still, like... there's some overarching things where it's like, oh, this is a good guy. I want a man who makes me laugh or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then there's some who maybe haven't been exposed to that enough or haven't had enough relationships to where they're, I'll just say it, twisted enough to expect that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that I love about my wife. And, you know, we can go down that road if you want. But like...
hell, but do I want to hear about how happy you are in a relationship? We talk about relationships for the past 30 minutes. That's exactly what I want.
No,
Addison,
not...
I want to hear how satisfied and happy that you are that you found somebody to love. That's what I want to hear about. Just spend the next 20 minutes just telling me about how happy you are and
I'm
rubbing it in my face.
I'm not going to do that.
Just rub it in my face.
I'm not going to do that. But I don't know. I think there's some amount of finding, you know, someone who hasn't really bought into that whole thing for whatever reason, you know,
yeah.
And maybe that's that they haven't dated a lot of people and gotten to that point yet.
Mm-hmm.
So be it. I don't care. I'm definitely not one of those. I really don't. And it's not a religious thing, but I really don't subscribe to that whole, well, you know, try a lot of cars before you mm-hmm. find one you like. Like, I just think that further ruins you.
Yeah.
That further twists how you look at relationships, because then whatever you keep being attracted to, which newsflash, that's on you, right? What you keep being attracted to, what you keep bringing around, you know, 8, 10, 12 guys later, you're like, well, all men are whatever, fill in the blank, douchebags, whores, whatever. No, 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 no. That's on you because that's what you're attracted to.
Yeah.
In some ways.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, those guys were bad guys to begin with, but that's on you because what you've been attracted to. So I'm not really into that whole try a lot before you settle down with one, because that's only going to further warp how you view people, which isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
That's only your small, very limited experience of 8 or 10 people out of the 4 billion that are in the world,
yeah,
of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
Like, that's only ruined you more. So...
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I don't know. Bottom line, relationships are hard.
Yeah, they're frustrating, but it's more frustrating when you're not in a relationship trying to meet people or
right.
trying to just sometimes you just become friends with somebody of the opposite sex just so you can get it just so you can get back into practice of being friends with somebody of the opposite sex, you know what I mean?
Right.
Just so you can, I don't know, get your flirt game up a little bit. Just it's so, yeah, it's so tough and frustrating, which is in a world where I have porn, I can get on my phone and have all the porn I want whenever I want it, like,
okay.
In that world, right. where sexual satisfaction, or not satisfaction, but sexual release,
uh-huh.
is so close and so easy,
a moment away, right?
Why would I want to have to wade through all your bullshit to have a relationship with you? Like, that's one of the things, like you bring too much drama to the table,
mm-hmm.
like making you work so hard for it, or not hard at all, but it's just like bringing so much drama to the table, having so many outside factors.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that
real
quick,
though. Just jerk off, when I can just look at porn and jerk off, like, why? Whatever.
It's an intellectual conversation that you're ruining. With terms like jerk off.
Why would I ever want to pursue a
right.
woman like that when it's the alternate is so easy?
Yeah.
And she's making it so hard and difficult and frustrating. There's a reason why most dudes just want to, you know, look at some porn.
Yeah. Actually,
and be done with it.
Let's talk about that real quick. I don't know that we've ever
it's frustrating.
Right. I don't know that we've ever really talked about porn on this show, but
a little bit, I think.
We're going to now real quick. I know this probably sounds like a religious thing, but I really look at it as more than that, because like you just said, it has nothing to do with religion or any morality of any sort, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just, we have a generation of people men and women across the board that, And this goes back to what I've said before about how no one's a thinking person anymore.
Yeah.
That we're all online. It's just, I got more likes on Facebook, and that's all we know how to process, right?
Yeah.
But porn does that only to your sexuality. And so you don't really, I think you can get to a point, men and women both, and women more probably with experiences like what we were just talking about, you know, you date 8 or 10 or 12 guys, you think, okay, well, he's over here to do this, so here's what's up,
yeah.
you know? And so you start looking at it in that context. Men do the same thing because of that instant sexuality. Like that's what it is. It's not a relationship. You're not having a relationship with somebody. So we don't, it's broken down all these concepts of what true relationships are. And we don't have any idea of how to actually interact with people, whether it's in a sexual way or not,
yeah.
we just don't. There, it's just not there,
mm-hmm.
and so, I'm not going to be one of those. You know, well, porn should be illegal. Absolutely not. You know, free speech is free speech. You should be able to say and do and display whatever you want,
yeah.
with some limits. But given that, I don't think it's a healthy thing for the brain to do, in terms of a relationship.
No, it warps.
I really don't.
It definitely warps the mind.
Yeah, because you don't have any basis of reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like somebody, maybe you could liken it to other things. You know, whether it's drugs or even video games or TV. Like, if you're always immersed in something else that is a simulation of reality,
yeah.
but not reality. Once you go back to reality, you're like, oh, this is how it's supposed to function because I've seen it so much in another context,
mm-hmm.
that is not real. And so then you're trying to act out what you think is not real in the real, and it never works out,
yeah.
with real people and in, yeah. and in reality, whether that's in relationships or whatever.
Yeah.
That's my two cents.
Yeah.
I don't know if you disagree.
To fully flesh out my idea of what I was saying with porn, like, have you ever gone up to a girl when you were in junior high and tried to talk to her? And she gives
a
you
a lot of them actually.
She turns to, like, with, if she's with her friends or something, she'll turn to you and she'll look at you like, and she'll say, "Why are you talking to me?"
Yeah.
Okay. Ever had that?
Or had that look on her face? But yeah.
But you have you ever had that experience?
Yeah.
Okay. It happened to me a couple times in junior high, and
and like a week ago.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Like it wasn't.
I,
like,
I was trying
it,
to.
It wasn't like why you talk. She didn't say that.
I was but trying
it was
to be
the,
a dick.
It was the look. But it was the. It happens to me all the time, and it happens like, and I'll just try to be Matt, just try to be nice, friendly Matt,
right?
And be a little flirty, or like introduce myself or whatever. And it, but or even like at work, just conversation with one of the servers or something,
right?
And you'll get that look of like, why are you talking to me?
Like, what are you doing here? Right?
Oh, I'm trying to be a human and interact with another human. I'm not trying to get
text
into your
you
pants
or whatever. Right?
I'm not trying to text you. I'm trying to get to know you. I'm trying to put myself out there and just be a nice person,
right?
And be friendly,
yeah.
And that, because I think that's how you get to know people. That's how you get a girlfriend.
Yeah,
is you're just nice to everybody, and you just talk and have good conversations. And then for some reason,
be genuine.
You find something out about another person. People like you make a connection, and you get closer and closer and closer. And then boom, a relationship.
Right.
I seriously get that. Why are you talking to me? Thing. Almost. Every couple months for my entire life.
Wow.
And I guess maybe it's just the package that Matt comes in. Maybe. Probably.
Well,
probably 90% of it is. But
maybe. But I think this goes back to like what I love harping on about society so much, you know, right
depressing.
Now.
It's f***ing depressing, dude.
You know, I can imagine, yeah. And I mean, I've been in those shoes. I know what that's like. But I think...
It's disheartening.
I think that goes back to like what I was saying about society. Like we're so much, like there's so much that I can just swipe with and get, right? You mm-hmm. know, and not in a pornographic sense, but in the sense of, you know.
Yes, why wouldn't I go there for solace and comfort?
Or,
and like some, at least some sort of release that makes me not want to like tear the walls down with my penis, which sometimes you feel like after a couple of weeks, you're just like, I will destroy the world with my dick. Ah,
because
you need to have sex with something.
Okay. Anyways, what I was going to say was not in a sexual sense, but in a relational sense. It's all, you know, Facebook and, you know, let me Snapchat you and text you and no one, and even, I mean, and me and my wife are guilty of this, and we'll talk about it. You know, sometimes like there'll be times when it's like we have a night just the two of us, right? Whether we're out somewhere getting a bite to eat, you know, or at home or whatever, and like she's on her phone and I'm on mine.
Yeah.
I mean, like not for brief. You know, like 5-10 minutes. I'm talking for hours on end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like where, and it's not that we're doing anything bad, or it's not like I'm looking at porn, or she's like reading 50 Shades of Addison or something. But it's like we're just that's
a good book.
Yeah, it's a great book. That's
most of the pages are stuck together though.
that's what we wind up doing, just because this is the interaction that we know, and there's mm-hmm. Facebook, and we're liking things and sharing things and reading things, and it frustrates the bejesus out of me, because you know how my parents were super concerned when I was a kid about me being able to talk to adults, right?
Yeah.
And having conversations with adults. I never thought I would have that concern. I'm like, what is that? What does that mean? Why would I ever be concerned about that? But now, and I'm only 26, but I have that. I see kids in public places. Like sometimes I'll be in public places if I'm waiting for somewhere. Name it what it is. I was sitting. The most recent one was the tax office back in tax season. I was just sitting there for a few hours, right, just waiting on to get my taxes done.
Yeah.
You know, very simple, just blue-blooded American thing to do. And all the old people were sitting there just talking, and, oh, I went here yesterday, and went there, and I've never been to this restaurant, and, like, just human interaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily positive or negative, but just we're interacting because we're all sitting here, right?
Yeah.
And then everyone that was under 30 was just swiping, and tapping because that's all they know how to do.
Yeah.
Because their brains can't sit there, and they can't sit across from somebody and say, you know, did you try this burger place, or... boy, it sure is hot today, or, you know, because we think that those conversations are meaningless because we're so used to, oh, a puppy got killed on Facebook, like, you know what I mean?
And that's another handicap that I have with dating, because I am definitely part of that over 40 crowd that would rather sit there and talk.
At only 31, ladies and gentlemen.
With their phone in their pocket, would rather sit there and talk with somebody than, like, I'm sorry, not going to get on Kick, not going to do Snapchat, I'll text,
yeah.
I'll call. Not gonna do.
You'll text to tell you.
Yeah, I'm
tell
barely
that you're coming
Twitter
over to
anymore.
Talk. Right.
You know, like not gonna do the Facebook thing. Like I'm not going to interact with you on social media or your phone.
Right.
Like, if I'm going to get to know you and date you, it's going to be face to face, voice to voice.
Yeah.
At very least text messaging, but I'm not gonna do that, and that is a handicap.
Yeah.
That's a handicap for
Absolutely
people my age.
Yep.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And that's
especially,
another, that's
I mean,
another
you're
31.
Like, I mean, if you're trying to date somebody who's, okay, reasonably, 3 years younger than you, right? You, mm-hmm. you know, 3 years younger than you. That's all that she's going to be just got my Twitter. Like,
yeah.
I don't, you know. And it sounds like I'm so down on society. I don't know. Maybe I am. But that frustrates the bejesus out of me. Like, I hate that. I hate it so much. As much of a nerd as I am, I love phones. I love my phone. I'm into phones and Google and I follow all this stuff and social media and apps and everything. But at a certain point, I'm just like, okay, when is it going to stop? Like, when can we have conversations with people that aren't, you know, and ones and zeros?
Want me to take down the system?
Here we go. I'm going to end it if you're going to go down this road right now. It's going to be a 40-minute show after you say that we need to take down everything that's important to rebuild it. Because I know that's where you're going.
I'm just working on my EMP pulse, bro.
God.
Someday I'm going to hit that switch, and it's just all the electronics in the world are just going to be fried. And then it's just going to be back to throwing poop and raping.
Throwing poop and raping.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's just how it'll be.
Yep. I raped you. We're married now. Deal with it.
As you're just tossing your feces out of the bungalow that you live in. Yeah.
The sweaty hobo bungalow.
This is a story I was actually... This kind of leads into this. This was a story I was actually going to talk about. I actually had on deck to talk about. And this is so interesting. Seattle. This is from the AP. It was from a CBS site out in Seattle. Seattle, AP. Seattle police are investigating a report of a drone peeping into a woman's apartment window.
So... You can tell these drones are Americans because not only do they fly around and spy on you
and bomb things,
yeah,
right.
They're also jerking off while they're doing it, peeping in your window like a peeping Tom. Was this drone wearing a trench coat?
Right. Yeah. Police were called to the downtown Seattle apartment complex on Sunday morning after she spied an unmanned aerial vehicle hovering outside the building. The woman said she was concerned the drone was looking into her apartment.
Yeah, probably was. It's because it was.
After calling the police, an employee of her apartment building says he went outside and saw two men piloting the drone. They packed up their gear, which included a video camera, and drove off before police arrived. Authorities say they are checking for surveillance video that may help identify the men.
Yeah, that's a whole new thing in porn is
drone tube.
Well, the candid thing. So voyeurism has always been a big thing in porn, right?
Sure, but
so, but now you have the candid shots. Now you have like the technology to take voyeurism to the next level.
Snapchat,
where you don't even have to be there. You could just be behind your computer screen controlling a drone. And get all the...
Maybe you're right, man. Let's develop that EMP. Let's just...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Instead of meeting for about an hour and a half a week to do this podcast, let's just... We can still turn the recorder on and put content out.
Yeah.
We'll just call it DroneCast. And what we'll do is we'll be building an EMP while we record.
Yeah.
Until it's done.
And then here I come with my camcorder, walking up to her front door, you know?
Right.
Knock, knock, knock.
Right.
And say, hey, ma'am, would you like to be recorded secretly? Could I just put this,
put
camera in your toilet?
Well, okay.
And then, like a normal human being would. But she's already been weirded out by the camera drone flying by her window.
Oh, my gosh.
They don't even take the time to introduce themselves before they start to, be a peeping
Hover
Tom.
Hover around.
Yeah. If you're going to be a peeping Tom, at least have the decency to introduce yourself to the neighbors.
Yeah, at least be the creepy neighbor.
Be like,
right.
Hi, my name is Matt. I'll be looking at you from time to time when you're not aware.
Right.
Because
most people know, we all have that guy. You knew him growing up. I knew him. You know, we all have that guy in the neighborhood.
Isaac Todd.
We all have that guy in the neighborhood where it's like, everybody in the neighborhood's cool and has their kids, and okay, this person's kind of weird because always working on their car. But then there's the one person that you're like, that guy is one day going to touch our kids.
Yeah, that one house where your parents say, stay away from that house.
Yep.
Don't play in that yard.
That guy is going to touch our kids or burn his house down one day. That's going to happen. And oftentimes it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a guy like that who lived close to my buddy's house, but there was no one like on our street.
Well, it's either by your house or your like buddy's that. House. Usually.
Well, I mean, he lived like three blocks away. So
there was one on our guy. He was a creepy guy. We lived not on a corner. He lived on the corner, and we lived the first house on the street, mm-hmm. right? And he had like this corner lot that had like a big hill and stuff. And it was that corner lot, and he was definitely like an older, like, get off my lawn, dude. Mm-hmm. But his son, I believe it was his son, would come over from time to time. Just the creepiest gentleman just ever.
Yeah.
So creepy. Just a weird vibe and always just walking around and looking like just not a good feeling.
Yeah. But
as a child, the feeling you got in your stomach was not pleasant.
Yeah. There's this one guy who lived, like, he was the only one that my parents were like, eh, you probably should stay away from him. But he was like, maybe, he was like early 20s.
Right.
Autistic, giant dude, like 6'5", okay, but like really kind of stuck in the fantasy world.
Okay.
And he was like one of those, my parents always said it was drugs, but he was one of those kids who like
wore a cloak.
Took LSD when he was like 16 and then.
Okay, yeah.
And then
sort of had the lasting effects for 15 years.
Well, forgot he wasn't living in Star Wars, but he would always act like Darth Vader. And we thought it was funny because nice. He would be like, I am your father. And
just all the time, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Just
not
just
even contextually.
Play
just,
Darth Vader
yeah.
with himself, like standing around his backyard playing Darth Vader. And so my buddy who lived next to him, like his dad had this boat. And so we would climb up on the boat
and
like
him.
Look over into the backyard and like he would be playing Star Wars with himself. And it was
all by himself.
Yeah, just yeah.
Acting like Darth Vader.
It was weird.
It does sound very weird.
Yep. It nice. Was.
Yeah, there was there's people like that really weird me out.
Yeah.
Like I said, there was a guy on our corner lot.
I had to pause for a minute until this runs corner on this side. There's like three pairs of socks, dirty socks that are just stuffed up under it. That's what's causing the apartment to smell like I came in last night. My midnight apartment stunk to high heaven.
Are those your socks? That are stuffed? Where are the socks again?
One of the end of the coffee table. They're his. As he sleeps on the couch.
Oh.
All the time, which is annoying. Because sometimes it's like, you know, 5 in the morning, I can't sleep. Especially on days off, I want to come out here and play video games. Nope. Anyway.
Anyway, we took a brief break. Matt took a potty break, and his roommate made a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
We're back. I don't know that there's a lot to say.
Well, no, what we were talking about was this article that he had brought
up. A drone that was peeking into a woman's abode, apparently, up in Seattle.
Which is one of the problems with, you know, technology, is that when you have technology and you develop technology, someone's going to find a way to use it for naughty things. It doesn't mean you shouldn't have the technology or people shouldn't be allowed to have the technology. Obviously, if the, you know, I mean, you've had, you know, mini helicopters and radio controlled planes and stuff like that for years and years. But like the ability to have like a small drone that will just be able to do whatever you want it to do and go wherever you want it from, you know, behind a laptop, you know, I don't know. It's interesting, but, you know, that's when you have to be a person and safeguard your privacy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't be, you know, changing clothes in front of an open window.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I saw this tweet the other day.
Unless you want people to see you naked, which some people like that. That's fine. I don't care.
I said, sir, the humans have invented an amazing thing. And then God replies, it is just as I... Nope, wait. They already found a way to use it for murdering.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of how technology is.
Yeah.
Like, even one thing that I'm kind of excited about and kind of excited about the possibilities of it, like the whole Google Glass thing, you know, mm-hmm. the glasses with like the heads-up display and navigation and text and calls and video and pictures. I think that's really cool technology, right?
Yeah.
But it's like already, you know, there was an app, I don't know if it was actually designed for it or like a concept app of, you know, it would be something you would be a part of. You'd have to choose to be a part of it, but it would be facial recognition mm-hmm. to where if I was wearing it, it would see you. And then if you were a part of this app or this program, then it would tell me, oh, this is Matt, you know?
Yeah.
But that's really, really creepy.
Well, facial recognition software has been used for years.
Oh yeah. By law enforcement and stuff. But still that's really, really creepy.
Yeah.
You know, especially the idea that, because my face is linked to me, and I don't want, you know, I don't like.
It's more than just linked to you. It's a total part of you.
But I don't want, like, I hate the idea that facial recognition will somehow be infused into social networks, like as we move along. Mm-hmm. I hate that idea. And I've sworn
it already is on Facebook.
Yeah.
Good tag, well, tagged photos. Like,
yeah, it still asks people, though.
Yeah, like, but doesn't it start to automatically tag things when it starts to recognize you in photos and stuff like
it
that?
It suggests. Like, I posted a picture of myself yesterday, and it was like, do you want to go ahead and tag yourself? Because it saw that it was me.
Yeah.
You know, but...
That's facial recognition software there. It's just,
yes.
You have to give it the final go-ahead before it tags you.
But I've even sworn off, like, the whole location thing. Like, I used to, like check out on, like, Foursquare and stuff, but...
That's you know why every app asks you for your location?
Why
for, like,
is that?
GPS... location permission,
mm-hmm.
because excuse me, they know that most of the time people say no or don't want those sorts of apps.
Right.
But if you do it with every single app, you're always going to be able to have some sort of way to locate that phone with a GPS locator.
Right.
So you're always going to know where that phone is.
Yeah.
Like, am I on Facebook? Do I use Foursquare? No.
Right.
Do I automatically check into places? No, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
But do I have an app, do I have a Yahoo Sports app on my phone which uses a GPS locator to determine my location?
Yeah.
And determine what team I'm rooting for?
Right.
Yeah. Which means the government knows where I am every single moment of the day.
I think this brings us back to the point. So how far away from are we from that EMP? I know you've been working on it, you know, in your spare time. Are we months, weeks, what?
It's too early to say. We had a setback last week.
Yeah.
One of our scientists got drunk. Brilliant mind.
I told you not to hire those guys. I mean,
brilliant mind, but you know, he's Lithuanian scientists. Number one, they're brilliant, but number two, they really like vodka.
And
rye.
They're spirits.
Yeah,
yeah.
They drink a lot.
Right. Causes a big problem in production sometimes.
No, because I think that if you're a real man of science. You should be able to use your substances and still
perform.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, like Timothy Leary could do it. Why can't you? Shout out to everybody who just got that joke.
Right.
Thank you. Anyway, but you know, we've had some setbacks in the laboratory. But we are successfully
moving forward.
Moving forward. We were able to blow up a Teddy Ruxpin the other day.
Okay.
Simply trying to focus on cassette technology.
Right. Nothing but the latest.
We're starting small. We can already basically fry any 8-track or 45 record that you want.
Just verbatim. Right then. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Transistor radios have you know, they have stand no chance.
Yeah.
We can kill those too.
So we're moving to, so at some point we'll be able to fry a Zune, right?
Well, basically we had this Teddy Ruxpin and we hit him with our pulse.
Uh-huh.
And the cassette deck melted inside of him.
Oh, there you go.
He blew up.
Okay.
Like just fluff and everywhere. Yeah. But yeah, we're now able to kill transistors. Any transistor absolutely unusable.
Right.
That was our major hurdle. But
right.
Now we're just trying to get to the microchip itself.
Like the Zune and things like that. Okay. Okay. Cool. Good.
To be able to do it off vast distances too. Because this Teddy Ruxpin was here in the States and I had them throw the switch in Lithuania where the EMP pulse is.
There you go.
Yeah. So it took like half a minute, but traveled all the way around the world and killed the Teddy Ruxpin.
So quick update on Matt's EMP project to go ahead and redefine the human race.
Yeah. But see, I can't tell bitches about this.
Right.
I can't tell bitches about my secret laboratory in Lithuania.
Right.
Because I have to keep that stuff secret.
Well, not only that, but they don't get it. Like,
no,
you know,
they don't understand.
You start telling them, they just think, well, Matt's high again. And they don't realize, you know, they're just like, well, what's your Snapchat username? They don't care about.
I'm telling you, babe, I'm a mad scientist on the side. They get turned off by that.
Right. Absolutely.
You know,
they do.
Like, well, you're into this global domination.
Yeah.
And weird scientific experiments, and I'm like, yeah, babe, I am.
Yeah.
You know, you should come over sometime and kick it, party with me. I'll show you my couple of heads in some jars I have. I have this really, you know, I have this an alien baby.
An alien baby.
Yeah, suspended in amber. You should come over and look.
Yeah.
And they don't get it.
Yeah,
I don't
they're
know
just
why.
Like, how many followers do you have on Twitter?
I guess girls just aren't into science. They don't have an inquiring scientific mind. Like, yeah.
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 It's a generational thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways, moving well along there. So good to know. Good to have a nice little status report.
Sure, sure.
And let me know afterwards as well what I need to, for security purposes, what I need to cut out, that sort of
what
thing.
What you need is at least 1-inch thick iron box.
Uh-huh.
Anything you want to save, put inside.
Oh, for the EMP.
For electronics, yeah.
Okay, I got you.
Put inside.
Okay.
Also, get in the box yourself because this EMP will give you cancer.
Okay.
That's the biggest hurdle that we've run into is that my scientists keep dying from cancer.
Right.
It's a good thing.
Dropping like flies.
It's a good thing I put my factory in Lithuania because Lithuanian scientists are so cheap.
Right.
Like, I pay them $3.50 an hour. It's ridiculous.
And honestly, you're crushing the economy over there because that's about $2.50 more than they'd make anywhere else.
Well, yeah, yeah.
If they were developing
totally
a diet pill across town.
The balance of power.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, they keep dying.
Yeah.
And I keep telling them, you know, just, I gave you the plastic gloves for a reason.
Right.
Use them.
Yeah.
But they're like, no, Matt, you know, we're dealing with heavy radiation here, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
We need protective suits. We need, you know, lead-lined.
Right.
Lead-lined
And you're just trying to run
laboratories.
And do it,
and I'm
do
just
it right.
Like,
yeah.
You have brick, okay?
Right.
And you have big black trash bags I gave you. Put the trash bag over you. Cut a couple armholes out.
Hazmat
suit.
Right there.
And then you just need one of those painter's masks, and you're good.
Yep.
And they keep bitching about all, you know, I've grown extra toes, you know. It's
all the better for walking.
My hair fell
out. Right, yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's that makes you more aerodynamic, so you can get from lab A to lab B faster. That's why your hair fell out.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Anyways, a work
plus
in progress.
They wanna eat. Yeah.
Yeah. Work in progress.
I'm not going to give you cancer and pay for your health insurance at the same time. Come
well, not
on.
Only that.
Stupid Lithuanian scientists.
Not only that, but if I could offer you some quick business advice.
Sure.
Don't, and hopefully they're not going to hear this, but don't let them unionize, Matt. Please don't let them start a union.
Well, that's one thing. Like, they have no outside media. Like, I make them turn their phones in every day when they come into work.
Yeah, but please don't.
And they're still flip phones. They're flip track phones because, you know, it's not even the 80s yet in Lithuania.
Right. Well, keep them from unionizing. That's all.
Yeah.
Like, if they,
that's the American way.
Yeah. Well, nice little progress update there. Good to know. Glad we've got that covered.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about. Give that some thought.
Yeah, that's about wraps her up. Kind of a shorter episode today, but.
And we didn't talk about God at all, so I think I consider it was a success.
But I like the fact that we had that big relationship.
Yeah.
Talk.
I don't
know. How much guys love talking about relationships.
It's one of my favorite things to do with my boys. You know, I like to sit back, throw a few back, you know, just talk about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite things to do. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you next time. Give that some thought. Check us out on Twitter. Matt is not very active on Twitter, but
no, maybe I might become more active.
You won't. Don't say that.
I won't.
The Ad Gift Thought Show is the show where all the episodes are posted, things like that. Matt is at @suburban_wizard. He will get the notifications. He still has the app, so if you have a question or need to say something to him, he will get it, and it'll just be up to him whether he replies. And I can't make any guarantees on
it'll
that.
It'll go to my email.
I
check.
I, however, will reply. I'm at Addison Todd, so. Hit me up on there and talk to me about the show. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening, guys.
This has been a production of Tripod Broadcasting.